Welcome to My Father's House bonus episode 302, Four Keys to Sustain Revival. Guest minister Alejandro Arias delivered this message on Sunday evening, February 12th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We honor you. We hunger after you, Lord. We desire more of you. We long after you, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us again. In Jesus' name. You know, a long time ago, when I was 12 years old, I had the privilege of meeting Dr. T.L. Osborne. And Dr. T.L. Osborne was a great general in Africa. You know, he traveled all throughout Africa. He held mighty crusades. And thousands of people came to the Lord as a result of his ministry. And I remember seeing him praying for the sick. And it was electrifying to see that. Because in 10 minutes, without any worship or build up of any sort, he would just pray, and in 10 minutes, like 20 people would get up from their wheelchair. Like bang, 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 all over the auditorium, all over the crowd. All of these notable miracles happened. And I was in his meeting. And he wanted to meet the two youngest preachers, and this was at a pastor's summit, and I was the boy preacher back then, and he wanted to meet the two youngest preachers in the room. So they called me. I was 12, and they called somebody else, Daniel King, who was like 18, 19 at that point, and he was from Tulsa. And anyway, they brought us into his room, into the office, into the back room, and he laid hands on us. And I remember I fell flat on my back, and I was under the power of God, under fire, liquid fire. And it was like I received this baptism. So I believe the anointing can be transferred and can be imparted over. And I don't know how many of you have had the experience to receive the baptism of fire, but it is real. Amen. So this whole weekend, I've been spending time on the fire baptism. I've been talking about the fire baptism because we must have it. We must have the fire baptism. We must be baptized all over again. So the Lord has done amazing things. You know, you saw the highlights of 2022. We went literally to the five continents. And this year, we're planning to go back to the five continents again. And we're doing Africa in the next 4 or 5 weeks. We're doing Africa twice. So I'm going to South Africa in 2 weeks. Then I'm coming back. Then I go to the Caribbean. I minister there. Then I come back to my family for a week. And then I go to Rwanda in the UK. So God is opening the nations. He's opening the nations everywhere because there is hunger. And God is reopening the ancient wells of revival. And I have a packed tour in the UK in the month of March. And I'm excited because a lot of these places where I'm going, and they were ancient wells of revival in the 1800s, in the 1900s. And a lot of these pastors have been crying for revival. They've been praying for revival. And so I'm going back there in March. And I'm believing God is going to do amazing things in this hour. And what I believe in my spirit is what we are doing right now is we are reopening the wells. Did you hear about the revival in Kentucky? God is reopening the ancient wells. God is reopening the ancient wells. So if there is an ancient well in Fort Wayne, you need to find it, you need to pray, and you need to reopen it. Amen? Because America is full of them. If you go to the Northeast, if you go to the Midwest, you know, all the circuit riders came through the Midwest and they preached in the Midwest, and great revivals took place in the Midwest, you know, back in the days in Zion, Illinois. You know, great evangelists went to Illinois and they preached the gospel. You know, Dr. D.L. Moody, he held amazing healing meetings in Chicago. Chicago was a revival hub in those days. I mean, all of the evangelists would come to Chicago and they would hold big meetings because God was moving in Chicago. And LA was a revival hub in those days. great evangelists went to LA and they held big tent meetings because thousands of people were flocking the tents and coming to Jesus. Now, don't you find it ironic that every place where God moved, where the Holy Spirit moved, the devil has been trying intentionally to wreck that place since day one? Don't you find it not just ironic? I just find it hilarious. The enemy is trying to reclaim that land. The enemy is trying to take that land back. But, you know, God has given ownership of the nations. He is the owner of all the nations. We know that, right? And we as the church, we must take ownership of the land that was given to us. So I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on God's dream for my life, my family, and for this nation. You believe that? Yeah. Don't let go. Don't let go. Don't give up. You know, embrace it. Pray for it. Believe it. It's coming. And I'm excited because what God is doing right now, He's igniting all these revival fires at once. And what's going to happen is we're going to see a coming together of all the fires that are happening now. And then before you know it, we're going to have a big fire. Amen. So all these small fires that are being ignited everywhere, God is going to bring them all. And this is going to be a heavenly junction where you're going to have all these fires coming together, merging at the same time. That's what happened in the early 1900s. Revival was traveling from one continent to another continent. You know, before revival took place here in Azusa Street in California in the 1900s, revival was already taking place in Ireland, you know, through the prayer movement. And other continents were experiencing a move of God. And so revival was jumping from one continent to another continent. And that's what the Lord is about to do in this hour. God is about to move in a mighty way. Because this is the end times harvest. And we are going to be part of it. We are going to be part of it. Amen? Amen. We are God's answer for this broken world. So, Father, I give you praise. Why don't you open your Bibles in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 2. And I have a word for you, and the word is, have you seen the former glory, but wait for the greater glory. Wait for the greater glory. Because the greater glory is for the greater good. The greater glory is going to enable you to see signs and wonders. The greater glory is going to help you overcome all the obstacles in your mind. The greater glory is going to be for the end times harvest. Before the Lord returns, I believe there's going to be a huge end times harvest. So if you don't have a passport, you need to get one. Because the doors of the nations are open now, but soon they're going to close. Because, you know, we're living in the end times, and everything is going to become highly censored. And everything is going to become highly manipulated, controlled by the government, the one world government. And before you know it, all the doors that you have open now will be shut. So the gospel must be preached now. So don't wait for another angel to come and pour oil on your head or hit you with a bastion and say, go! You need to go now. The Lord wants you to go now. He wants you to understand the Great Commission. If you embrace this sense of urgency in heaven, whether it's for your town or your community or the nation or the nations, you'll be able to obey the Lord. There's nothing more satisfying than obeying the Lord. There's nothing more rewarding than, you know, doing the will of God. There's nothing more satisfying than actually fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. And my question to you tonight is, are you fulfilling the purpose of God in your life? Are you executing the call of God in your life? And if you come back with an answer by saying, well, I go to church, I tithe, I give, I'm engaged in, you know, some missionary activity, the answer should be, what are you actively doing right now that is making a difference in the world? And you may say, well, I don't have the resources to go out to the nations. Well, God is not asking you if you have the resources. God is asking you, are you willing to go? Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to lay hands on the sick? Are you willing to pray for the lost? Are you willing to lead people to Christ, even in your own Bethlehem? Are you willing to be a witness? Are you willing to be an ambassador? Are you willing to be a messenger? God is not asking you whether you can or you're not able to. God is saying, are you willing? And sometimes we look at our impossibilities and we think, oh, it's impossible. It's not. It's difficult. It's too much for me. But God is asking you tonight, are you willing? So Haggai chapter 2 verse 2 says, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong. I'm going to give you four keys to sustain revival in your life and sustain the call of God in your life. I'm going to give you four keys. So I want you to write them down because these keys are going to help you in your call. Number one, God wants you to be strong. So be strong, Joshua, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work. Number two, work. God is saying to you, work. Don't just lay around. Don't just pray more. Don't just intercede more. Don't just, you know, give more. Work. It is time to work. Amen? So that's the number two key. God says, I want you to be strong. I want you to work. And I want you to know that you're under my covenant. It says, for I'm with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Verse 5. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. That's the fourth key. Defy all fear. Overcome fear. This is what the Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with my glory, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 8. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant you my peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Father, I thank you for your presence in this house. And I thank you for the revelation of your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us your spirit. And when we receive it and we treasure it, we know how valuable it is to embrace your anointing. The call of God is something that should consume us all. And I just pray that this consuming fire will be burning in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you an example of baptism. I'm going to give you an example of fire, like real fire. Remember when Jesus was walking with the two men and they felt like their hearts were on fire. And they felt like they were burning up and they couldn't understand what was going on. And then they had communion with Jesus. And when they had communion with Jesus, this is after Jesus, you know, died and he was resurrected and he appeared to these guys. Remember that scripture in the Bible? And the Bible says that they had communion, and when Jesus broke the bread, Jesus gave them the bread, and then they had communion, and then Jesus disappeared. That's what the Bible says. Jesus disappeared. But then these guys were talking, and they were saying, wasn't it amazing? I'm just putting it into context for you. Wasn't it amazing that when he was talking, it was like his words were carrying fire, like our hearts were burning, like we felt the fire was while he was talking to us. And so these guys were impacted. They were ministered by the presence of Jesus when he was resurrected. They had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus left an impression. He left a mark, you know. And these guys were never the same. I believe Peter was baptized with fire. And Paul was baptized with fire. And all of these great men of God who continued writing history, the pages of history, they were baptized with fire. See, God wants you to embrace a greater glory in this time and in this hour. What just happened in Kentucky? You know, a normal church. chapel service. You know, some students came together, they began to pray, and before they knew it, the glory of God flooded the auditorium. The glory of God came into this place, and they began to pray and worship. And the worship began to tarry, you know, for a few hours, because the anointing was so strong that they couldn't stop worshiping. And so then the crowd began to swell up when other students were called into the meeting. This is what I'm hearing. This is the report I'm hearing. That the students were calling other students because they couldn't stop the worship inside the auditorium. Because the glory of God was so heavy and so intense that they couldn't stop worshiping. And they were glued to the floor. Now, how do you explain that? A bunch of kids that are, you know, university students, obviously they're going to a Christian university and they are on fire for the most, a lot of them, you know, they go to Christian churches. Some of them probably don't. I know the background. I think the background is the Nazarene church. And it's amazing when you see what the Lord is doing now in Kentucky. Thousands of young people gathering every night, worshiping Jesus. And they don't have, you know, they don't have famous worship singers. They don't have worship leaders. They don't have the church band. They just have organic instruments. They have, you know, they don't even have an organized system. God is moving through all the spontaneous, you know, worship. The Spirit of God is moving and healings and miracles are beginning to take place. Salvations are beginning to take place. Hundreds of people, students are coming in and crying and weeping and asking for forgiveness and asking the Lord to touch them. God is moving in this hour. God is moving in this hour. So the former glory cannot be compared with the greater glory. And I believe this is for you. God is asking you to be strong. Yes, we are going through some difficult times. Yes, we're going through some threatening times. Yes, the enemy is trying to intimidate us. Yes, the enemy is trying to shock us all by displaying his power and his wickedness, you know, on national TV and letting us know how much he thinks he's in charge. Well, I got good news for you. The enemy's a loser. We're more than conquerors. I mean, last week, you know, I love Jesus. And I say, yay, Jesus, and go, Jesus. The devil, he didn't have the last word. And he doesn't have the last word. And even when the devil thought he could mock this nation and mock Christianity and mock anyone by setting up a pagan ritual on national TV. I mean, the nations of the world were mocking what was going on during the Grammys. You know, wasn't that disgusting? Wasn't that evil and wicked? And that happened last Saturday. And the enemy is thinking, yay, I got everybody's attention. Now everybody's going to think America has gone completely down the hill. America's lost. America's doomed. America is the land of evil, a pagan nation. So guess what? God didn't want that to be written in the chapters of history. So God has the last word. So guess what God did? Despite of what the enemy was plotting, what he was planning, the Lord decided to move his spirit, and the Lord decided to send an angel to Kentucky on Wednesday. And this angel of revival came down. This angel of revival came to a university campus. And there was a handful of students in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know where Asbury is. I don't even know where this town is. I've heard a lot about it. I want to go now. I want to check it out. Because let's go. Because God is moving there. And God is reopening an ancient well. And see, last Saturday on national TV, the devil was like, you know, promoting this evil agenda. But then on Wednesday, God decided to shift the narrative. God decided to shift. You know, he decided to shift things in the atmosphere and shifted. And I believe what we are about to see is God taking the reins of the destiny. The reins of your destiny, my destiny, and the destiny of the church. And when we think we are doomed, when we think this is it, when we think we have hit a wall, when we think we are not able to move forward, God says, I have a new chapter waiting for you. I have a new breakthrough waiting for you. I have a new blessing. I have something. You live inside a time capsule, but I live outside time, and I can see beyond time. See, we are inside this time capsule, and we think we are limited by time, but God is not limited by time. And God is going to move again, and He's going to do it in the next 10 years. I believe we're going to see the greatest shakings of the Holy Spirit. I believe we're going to see the greatest move of God. I believe we're going to see the greatest harvest. I believe we're going to see the end times harvest again. That is my personal conviction. So number one, be strong. Tell your neighbor, you have to be strong. You have to, you know, you have to pull up your weight in prayer. You have to pray in the Spirit. You have to be strong. There is going to be a battle. There is going to be persecution. There is going to be a clash between evil and good and light and darkness and wickedness and righteousness. And those that don't have your Spirit, they don't like you. But I don't care if they don't like me, because I love Jesus and I love them too. Amen. So be strong, because the next 2 years are going to be very defining. And they're going to be very, very historically defining. Like, God is going to define history in the next 2 years. The next 2 years are going to change a lot of things. So we need to be strong. Amen? Don't give in. Don't be afraid. Don't look at the enemy's agenda. Don't look at the threats. Don't look at the giants in the land, because God is going to slay the giants. God is going to bring the idols down. He's going to get the glory. Ultimately, God is going to shift the narrative, and God is going to get all the glory. You believe that? So who of you is left who saw this glory in its former glory? Who saw this house in its former glory? And you may think, well, nothing's really happening. You got to look carefully, and you got to open your eyes, and you got to pray and ask the Lord, show me what you're doing now, because I don't want to miss it. I want to embrace it. I want to sow in it. I want to be part of it. I want to jump in the wagon. I don't want to miss the train. I don't want to miss the visitation. I don't want to dismiss it and think, well, it's just another service. It's just another move of God. No. God is about to shape our history. God is about to shape our destiny. God is about to give you a new authority, a new anointing as you walk into 2023. And I believe the things that are happening now are going to shift your anointing. They're going to shift your horizon. God is about to give you a new horizon. God is about to give you a new north. God is about to give you a new place, a new Macedonian call, a new anointing, a greater fire, a greater sense of destiny. So you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Number one, be strong. Yes, there will be threats. Yes, there will be persecution. Yes, there will be people with the opposite spirit. Yes, there will be critical spirits. Yes, the spirit of Jezebel will rise, and so what? Yes, the spirit of Baal will rise, and so what? Yes, the demons will rise, and they will try to make noise and try to intimidate us. Yes, the left will not like what they're seeing right now, and they will rise and try to, you know, quench the move of God. And even those in the radical left will try to persecute the righteous believers in this hour. But let me tell you something, no matter how much persecution takes place, God is going to move, and nothing is going to stop him. God is going to move, and nothing, come on, just pray in the Spirit right now. Nothing is going to stop him. Nothing is going to stop him, because what is coming has been prophesied. What has been declared and decreed and is said about this time, whether you think it's going to happen or not, whether you agree or not, whether you think we are at the time or not, I believe we're on the verge. We're on the brink of one of the greatest awakenings. We are on the brink of a great awakening. I believe it. I believe it. So number two, we need to work. We need to be determined. We need to fulfill the Great Commission. We need to roll up our sleeves and get to work. We need to win, you know, we need to win the lost. We need to reach the lost. Amen. God will not bless people that have a lazy spirit. Or if they're sitting around, they're being idle. God does not bless that. God will not honor people that are sitting around just doing nothing. God will bless people like Gideon. You know, when Gideon was called by God, you remember that story in Judges chapter 6 when God called Gideon and he was in the room and he was arguing with the angel and he was basically saying, who am I? I mean, I'm the youngest in the family. I'm the poorest in town. I'm the weakest in the clan. Like, I'm so insignificant. Who am I for the Lord to use me? Remember that scripture? And Gideon was looking at all the odds and the impossibilities. And, you know, he was like looking at all the difficult circumstances in his life. And yet, despite his complaining and despite his, you know, ranting, God is looking at him. And the angel of the Lord is standing before him. You know, God could have struck him dead because he was complaining. Hello. God could have smacked him in the face, said, all right, boy, I'm done with you. And he could have turned his back on him. But despite all of all the complaining and the ranting, God looked at him and said, go. And this is so powerful. Because Gideon was complaining. That was coming out of his mouth. But it wasn't coming out of his heart. And God knows your heart. Because what may come out of your mind may be different than what comes out of your heart. Because your heart is your source, your true source of truthfulness. And so Gideon may have been complaining, but he didn't mean it. Because God immediately saw the strength in him. And God looked at him and the angel of the Lord, every time the Bible talks about the angel of the Lord is talking about Yeshua. The angel of the Lord, every time you hear that word, every time you read that word in the Bible where it says the angel of the Lord appeared to so-and-so, it's talking about Yeshua, it's talking about Jesus. So Jesus literally walked into Gideon's room as he's fighting with the Midianites and he's protecting the wheat. He's protecting the harvest. A lot of us have been doing that for quite some time. We've been zealous, we've been praying, and we've been protecting the harvest. And we've been protecting others and fighting the Midianites. How many of you know that we're going through a time and a season where we are fighting Midianites in the spirit? Like we are fighting enemies. Come on. And you're wondering, where's the God of revival? Where's the God of revival that my parents told me and my grandparents and all the miracles and the signs and the wonders? Where's the revival in the 60s and in the 50s and the 40s and the 30s and the 20s? Where's all of that? Is that all gone? Is America hopeless? Is America insignificant before God that God is not going to move again? Will God forget America again? No. Why? Because God has made a covenant with you. Come on, tell your neighbor, God has made a covenant with us. Come on, tell your neighbor, God has made a covenant with us. And God is going to keep that covenant. And that covenant is going to be kept. And that covenant is a covenant for ages. And because God is a God of covenant, he made a covenant with Israel. He made a covenant with the church. And he made a covenant with America. I believe we're going to see another great awakening. Come on, somebody. Praise God. I believe we're going to see another great awakening. And I'm excited because I've been praying and I've been believing and I've been laying awake and I've been asking the Lord to show us his glory. God, show us your glory one more time. God, we need another revival. And maybe 2 years ago, I could have said, yeah, we're like a year away from revival. But now I'm saying we are 1 minute away. We are 1 minute before the 11th hour. And two things are going to happen. They're going to converge. They're going to happen at the same time. Number one, you're going to have a huge, mighty end times revival. And you're going to have a lot of end times events happening side by side. You're going to have evil being promoted. and shoved down your throat. You're going to have evil being exalted. Like tonight, what they're planning during that half show. Oh, I don't want to watch it. I don't even want to, you know, listen to the reviews later on, because I know it's going to be absolutely wicked and evil. Because that's what I was told. That's what some of the media sources and some of the reporters were talking about this halfway show, and how, you know, horrible it's going to be. You know, how they're going to promote an agenda. They're going to set up idols. See, the ancient spirits are coming back, trying to take over this land. But I have news for you. The Spirit of God is hovering around America. The Spirit of God is hovering around the nations of the world. The Spirit of God is hovering. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit that was hovering many, many, many generations ago, is the same Spirit that is doing it now. And is the same Spirit. And He's not just hovering. The Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is in me. We are the living temples of the Holy Spirit, and we will see revival with our own eyes. Come on, church. So when Gideon was complaining, see, a lot of churches keep complaining. Well, if we just have another Republican president or another Republican, you know, candidate in the Senate, then we will see revival. You know why God did not allow another Republican candidate to take over the White House 2 years ago? Because God does not want anybody to take the glory. Because revival is not coming because there is a Republican in the White House. Revival is coming when there is true repentance. Revival is coming when there is true brokenness. Revival is coming when there is true repentance. And God has brought us to a place of repentance. Come on. This is not about being a Republican or a Democrat. This is about God dealing with us. And see, God is not wanting, God doesn't want politics to mix with what He's about to do. Because this is not about politics. This is about the glory. This is about the gospel. This is about the church taking its place of authority and anointing. We've been called to make a difference in this hour. Come on, somebody. We've been called to make a difference in this hour. So then Gideon, he gets the call of God. God is looking at Gideon. And I know some of you will probably say, well, I don't agree with that. I believe God wanted, you know, this president to take over the White House, and he was going to lead us, and there was going to be a massive revival after that. Even if Donald Trump was in the White House right now, he will not bring any revival. Because it's not Donald Trump. It's not a Republican president. The only one who can bring the revival is the author of revival. And His name is the Holy Spirit. Nobody planned what's happening in Kentucky. Nobody scheduled a meeting last Wednesday and said, we're going to have revival. We're going to advertise it. And we're going to bus people, students from Ohio and everywhere. And we're going to have a revival. Nobody planned it. The Holy Spirit, in His sovereign mind, in His sovereign will, He decided, I'm going to come down to Kentucky and visit America again. Come on. Come on. The Holy Spirit decided to come down to Kentucky. Come on. He could have gone to New York. He could have gone to Chicago. He could have gone to LA. No, he went down to Kentucky. Hello? You believe that God is about to move in this hour? Come on. Gideon was complaining. He was ranting. He was going on and saying, I'm not worthy of this. The angel of the Lord looked at him and said, go with the strength of yours and save my people. Now the question for you is, and the question that you should be asking yourself is, what strength was the Lord talking about? What strength? Was there any strength? Did he seem like a revivalist? Did he seem like an overcomer? Did he seem like a general? Did he seem like he was ready to take over the nation and save the nation? No. That he was hiding. He was afraid. He was running away from the calling. He was almost like a coward in a way. Hello? and he was running from the calling. Yet God said, go in the strength of yours and save the nation. And you may think, well, that doesn't sound like it makes sense. Because in God's economy, what makes sense in your mind is not making sense in the kingdom of God. So in God's economy, what makes sense in your mind will not make sense in his mind. Because in God's economy, things work the opposite way. So in your mind, you have to be qualified. You have to go to Bible school. You have to have a Bible degree. You have to have all these certificates on your wall. You have to have a Bible degree after Bible degree and more pedigree. Hello? But in God's economy, you don't have to have a Bible degree. In God's economy, you have to have fire, hunger, willingness. You have to be willing to step out in faith and obey the call of God. In God's economy, God is going to promote you out of Bethlehem. Now, I've been to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem back in the days when Bethlehem was started, you know, back in the days when Jesus was around, when he was born in Bethlehem, Bethlehem was not even a township. Bethlehem was not even a village. Bethlehem was basically a cattle station, a sheep station. That's what it was in those days. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. In a little, not even a town, but in a place that was so insignificant. Yet God decided to bring his glory and the kingdom, and he decided to abide. He decided to come to Bethlehem, and he decided to allow his son, the savior of humanity, to be born in a sheep station because the greatest shepherd, and the shepherd, hallelujah, come on, was going to be born in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, the name in Hebrew means the house of bread. So Jesus, being the bread of life, he had to be born in the house of bread. Come on, somebody, come on. Because he is the bread of life. And the Bible says whoever partakes of his bread, of his flesh, you know, when you have communion, there's such a revelation when you have communion. When you partake of his bread, when you partake of his flesh, you're partaking of his covenant. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Jesus was the bread of life. And if you take his bread, you receive the revelation of his word. And that's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And he said, when you pray, tell your heavenly Father, give us our daily bread. He wasn't talking about French fries and McDonald's and, you know, pancakes and all of that. No, he was talking about revelation. He was talking about rhema. He was talking about the word. Give me a daily word so that I can sustain my spirit, because this is going to be the key for my breakthrough. I need to spend time with Jesus. I need to spend time with Jesus in Bethlehem. Come on, somebody. Come on. I need to spend time with Jesus so that I get the bread of life, so that I become a storehouse, so that I can give others the word. Because the Bible says, you got to watch what comes out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth is what is connected to your heart. So your heart is connected to your mouth and your spirit. So if you are a storehouse of the word of God, what do you think is going to come out of your mouth? It's going to the word of God. You're going to prophesy, you're going to declare it, you're going to speak it, you're going to release it. You're going to worship the word. You're going to embrace the word, you're going to declare the word, you're going to pray the word. Come on. I love when believers pray the word, because when you pray the word, you pray heaven to earth. I'm going to say that one more time. When you pray the word, you are praying heaven, the reality of heaven. You are praying miracles. You are praying manifestations. You are pulling down the weight of glory, and you are manifesting and walking in the manifestation of the word of God. So God is asking you tonight. He's saying to you, he's looking at you, and he's saying, are you willing? Go with your strength. Go with your charisma. Go with the joy. Go with that strength of yours. And you may be thinking, what strength is he talking about? Because I feel like I don't have what it takes. I feel like I'm dragging my feet along. I feel like I'm just not doing much. I feel like I'm not able to even, you know, I feel like I'm not even able to pray for people out in the streets, let alone pray for, you know, the lost. What strength is he talking about? Tell your neighbor, God is talking about your inner strength. Come on, tell your neighbor, God is talking about your inner strength. God is talking about your inner strength. God is talking about the strength that is locked in your spirit. God is talking about your destiny. God is talking about your destiny. And see, people will not see your destiny, but God can see your destiny. So number one, fight. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to be strong. Number two, you're going to have to, work. Be courageous, work, go and witness, go and share the gospel. You know, go in and travel, go in and do what the Lord is asking you to do. Go on mission trips, work. Amen. Number three, enjoy the covenant. Embrace the covenant. Live under the covenant. Don't be limited in your mindset, in your capacity. Don't allow the enemy to restrain you. Don't allow the enemy to hold you back. Enjoy living under the covenant. Say with me, I'm a child of the covenant. And I shall enjoy all the benefits of the covenant. How many of you know that you are under the covenant? You know, so many believers limit their enjoyment. They limit their potential. They limit their provision because they lack of revelation. Oh, wow. I just said something. This is a nugget for you. Some people limit their potential because they lack of revelation. I'm going to say it one more time. Some people limit their potential because they lack of revelation. The Bible says, "My people will perish for lack of knowledge." So if you don't understand the fullness of Christ in you, you will allow the enemy to play around with your imagination. You will allow the enemy to mess with you and mess with your identity, mess with your destiny, mess with your mind and your spirit. You know, one thing is to be in church on Sunday morning. Another thing is to go to work on Monday morning and face those demons. Hello? And fight the battle. So one thing is to be in church with your brothers and sisters and getting impartation, getting prayer, and being under the presence and the glory. And another thing is to carry Christ in you to work. Hello? Another thing is to be an ambassador, to be a messenger. Another thing is to shine when others are living in utter darkness and you are being the light of the world. And you know, you can see, you can sense around you, there is deep darkness in this world. See, one thing is to be a disciple in the house of the Lord. Another thing is to make disciples out in the street. Two different worlds. But they need to come together. You need to bring your, hallelujah, you need to bring those worlds together. You need to, it's not like you put on a hat and you become a believer on Sunday morning and you take off that hat and you go to work and you are an ordinary citizen. No, you are a heavenly citizen. Even when you go to work, even when you're dealing with people that are swearing, that are giving you a hard time, that are, you know, that are being difficult, that don't have the same spirit, they don't have the same joy, they don't carry the same strength that you carry, they don't carry the same Holy Spirit, you have the power and the authority to affect them and infect them. Come on. You have the power and the authority. Come on, say it. I have the power and the authority to affect them and infect them. You believe that? So what does that mean? We are contagious. Tell your neighbor, I have good news for you. I'm contagious. I have the Holy Spirit. I am super contagious. I'm highly contagious. I am like the anointing is just oozing out of me. Come on. The anointing is just coming out of my pores. Come on. Like I'm highly contagious. Come on. How many of you are highly contagious? Like everywhere I go, I see signs and miracles. I'm highly contagious. I carry this joy, this unquenchable joy everywhere I go because I have the Holy Spirit. I'm highly contagious. So if you understand the fullness of Christ in you, you will not limit the revelation of Christ in you. So what does that mean? That means that whatever Christ is giving you as provision, you will use it on a daily basis. That means you're living under the covenant from Monday through Sunday. You're living under the covenant every day of the year, every month, every week. And that means every tool available for you, every weapon available in your arsenal, you use it because God has given you power and authority and He's giving you a covenant. So I'm a child of the covenant. So what does that mean? That having communion is one of the blessings of the covenant. And I shouldn't limit the amount of times I have communion. I should have communion every day. If the Lord gives me the revelation, and if the Lord gives you the green light, the Bible says, do this as often in remembrance of me. I know some believers that have communion only once a month. And they miss out on the revelation of communion. Because if you have communion every day, you are reminding yourself of the covenant every day. It is so powerful when you have communion. It's like praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is another benefit of the covenant. I know some believers that only pray in the Spirit when others are praying in the Spirit. But if you pray in the Spirit every day, you're actually releasing the reality of heaven. Come on. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying in a heavenly coded language. The devil will not be able to decipher it or interpret it. So you have heavenly access, and the angels will understand. Only God will understand what you're saying by praying in the Spirit. And when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying miracles out. Come on, you're pushing miracles out. That's another benefit of the kingdom, praying in the Spirit. Worshiping in the Spirit. How many times do you worship in the Spirit? What do you mean by worshiping in the Spirit? I don't mean by, you know, reading the songs or reading the lyrics. I'm talking about worship in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means a song that comes out of your spirit. It is a prophetic song. It comes out of the depth of your soul, and you're going to sing it out. And when it comes out, it's going to be a song of jubilee. It's going to be a song of praise. It's going to be a song of revelation. Come on. And that song is going to connect you with heaven. So praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, having communion, baptism, you know, even washing your feet. That has been completely lost. We don't do that. No one is doing that. And there's such a powerful revelation. And you're like, well, I don't want to wash my neighbor's feet. That's something I will never do. But did you know that Jesus established that? He laid that example of humility. Yet we have forgotten that benefit in the kingdom. That we can wash each other's feet. And we can, by His humility, by the spirit of humility, we can surrender and we can pray and connect with each other by washing each other's feet. Come on. How many of you have done it? At least once in your life. Hello? Wasn't that life changing for you? Well, I got good news for you. You're going to do it to your neighbor tonight. No, I'm... You're like, really? I was not expecting that. The benefits of the kingdom. What about healing? What about miracles? So many benefits in the kingdom that are attached to the covenant. And the question is, are you enjoying those benefits? Because those benefits are yours. Amen? How many of you have an insurance policy? How many of you know your benefits? How many of you know all of your benefits? Or do you just have an insurance policy for the sake of having a policy, yet you don't know all the benefits in that insurance policy? You know your benefits. You know them very well. Oh, I hope so. Yeah. Everyone should know their benefits, right? How many of you have a life policy? Come on, raise your hand if you have a life policy. How many of you know the benefits of that life policy, right? It's the same in the kingdom. If you know that you're living under the covenant and you're not maximizing those benefits, you are limiting your potential. You're limiting your revelation. You're limiting your capacity in Christ. What does that mean? Does that mean I have to do communion every day? If the Lord says do it, you do it. Amen. Does that mean I have to pray in the Spirit every day? If the Lord is giving you the utterance and the power, do it. Does that mean I have to pray every day? Of course. Pray without ceasing. Fasting and all of those benefits. They're amazing, right? Number three. God, number four. God wants you to walk with a fearless attitude. He wants you to be unafraid. He wants you to be fearless. Fear is coming. There's a spirit of fear. There's an agenda of fear in this world. And God wants you to face it. God wants you to stand strong. He wants you to look up and trust Him. Who is my rescuer? Who is my strength? Who is my comforter? My comforter is the Lord. Amen? I remember one time when, Celeste, my second daughter, and Celeste was coming to this world around, it was in May 2018. Celeste came to this world. She was obviously like any other baby, you know, a bundle of joy. And from the moment she came out of the womb, we knew there was something special about her. She came out in no time, in 3.5 hours. It was a very quick labor for Rebecca. Not for me, praise God. I didn't have to push. I just had to pray. You know, for 3.5 hours, Celeste was out. Whereas Carielle, my oldest, she took almost 19 hours. I mean, I could preach a sermon on pushing after that. Like, I knew the meaning of the word push. You know, the Lord gave me the whole revelation, the full picture of the word push. 19 hours. I heard it so many times. I'm like, yep, I can preach on this. I can write a book on it. You know? Pray until something happens. Have you heard that before? The initials of push. Pray until something happens. I'm like, okay, now I got it. I got the revelation. I know what to do now. So, Celeste came to this world May 1st, 2018. And, you know, the first 2 weeks, we noticed some things. Rebecca, were, you know, she was going through a lot of stuff, and you know, unfortunately, they left some placenta, and she was bleeding on the inside, so she had to be taken to hospital. Like 2 weeks later, this is a postpartum issue, and so she's going to, into the hospital, and she's bleeding profusely, and she's having all these complications. And I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, as an evangelist, as a healing evangelist, oh no, I'm going to be left, you know, as a widower, right? I'm going to be left as an evangelist with two daughters. And what am I going to do now? And I'm asking these questions, and I'm asking the Lord. But I, you know, fear was prevalent, and it was coming towards me, and it was hitting me, but I knew the Lord was going to take care of Rebecca. I just knew it. And we were, you know, I went inside that ICU waiting room, and I was praying and waiting upon the Lord. And it was like midnight, and I had been waiting for a few hours, and they attempted a few things. And the main doctor came into the room, and he didn't look too happy. He's like, we have attempted everything. We've done everything. We don't know what to do. The next thing we're going to do, We don't want to do it. We don't want to attempt it because this could affect your family in the future. It could have a huge impact on Rebecca having more children in the future. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, and she was bleeding a lot. So they were afraid that she was going to lose the battle, and she could have died basically. So they went in. They went in there. And they were praying. They went in to do their thing, and I was praying. The doctors were not praying. I was praying, but I was there by myself, and it was like midnight. And the Lord spoke to me, and I remember the Lord saying to me, "I want you to worship in the Spirit, and I want you to recite some healing scriptures." You know, I'm an evangelist, so what do? I begin to worship in the Spirit. And the Lord asked me, he almost challenged me. He said, "I want you to do and believe what you preach." You know, so I'm in this ICU waiting room by myself. The Holy Spirit is there, obviously. Nobody's there standing by my side. Nobody's reading me scriptures. Yet the Lord is speaking to me in an audible voice and saying to me, confronting my fear and challenging me and saying, "I want you to do what you preach." So come on. Get over your PD and begin to pray. And so I began to play some worship songs. And I knew that Benny Hinn had a playlist of worship scriptures and healing scriptures. So I began to play those healing scriptures. And I began to recite them and pray them in the Spirit. And begin to walk and pace that aisle up and down worshiping. Thank God I was alone because I was having revival. You know, I didn't care who was in there. Obviously, the angels of the Lord were in there. But, you know, I just wanted to let it all out. And sometimes you have to find an outlet where you have to let everything out, you know. So I kept praying. I prayed for half an hour. And then the doctor came back. And he came back with a smile. And he said, "I don't know what you're doing. But whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's working. We're getting down to business, and we're able to address the issue now." So there were some complications, but God came through. God intervened. And God intervened in the 11th hour, like 1 minute before midnight. God came through, and Rebecca was able to come out of that situation, which was a very difficult one. God healed her. She came out of that dark valley, and the next day she was released, and she went home. You know, she could have died, yet God came through. So my message for you tonight is, are you willing to face your fear head on? Are you willing to let the enemy know who is in charge? Are you willing to rise up and use your God-given authority and pray in the Spirit and walk without any fear? The enemy wants you to live by fear. The enemy wants you to lead your life by fear. The enemy wants you to lead your family and your finances by fear. But the Lord is saying to you tonight, don't allow fear to cripple you. Don't allow fear to stop you. Don't allow fear to hold you back. Don't allow fear to paint a bleak picture, because God is not going to move unless you move in obedience. Don't allow fear to paint a dark picture, but allow the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit in obedience, in faith. Come on. Say, "Holy Spirit, I'm willing. I'm willing. And I'm ready. And I'm yielding to you." Come on, just pray in the Spirit. And over the next few minutes, I'm going to pray for this glory to fall on you. I'm going to pray for this glory. Be strong. Number one, be strong. Number two, work. The Lord wants you to work. Roll up your sleeves and work. Get to work. Reach the lost. Make disciples. Number three, God wants you to live under His covenant. He wants you to enjoy the covenant, the benefits of the covenant. And number four, God wants you to have a fearless attitude. Don't allow the enemy to paint a horrible picture. Don't allow the enemy to paint a picture of impossibility. But you must, in the Spirit, rise up and use your God-given authority and pray.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.